Believe it or not, He wants me to lead you in a song, and you need to sing it. And I think one reason He wants me to have me do it is that after you, when you hear me sing, you're not going to feel self-conscious at all. Would you all mind to stand for a moment? I know who a couple of them are, but that's not what He wants. And if we all sing it, then that way nobody feels a... Yes, sir. He says, "You will release power against your enemies as you turn your face towards me and let these words come from your lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And as you speak these things and sing them out of a heart of love, even when you don't understand everything that's happening to you, it releases me, releases my spirit, releases angels who hearken to the voice of my word to move on your behalf, and it will still the avenger, says the Lord." Now the song is it's an old standard, you all know it, and normally it goes like this. Don't sing yet. The way I first heard it was "Because He Lives." But in my worst times, and I've had some times, you're looking at a man that's been through polio, asthma, terminal cancer, given 6 months to live. My only sister committed suicide years and years ago. Had an incurable heart disease that is now cured by the power of Almighty God. What I'm telling you is I know what it is to have hard times. I know what it is to have the enemy come and say, "This is it. This is it. It's too late for you now." And I'm telling you, I have found in those darkest hours. You remember Silas and Paul? At midnight, they'd been beaten, they were in prison. And at midnight, which symbolizes the darkest hour, what did they do? They sang, they lifted their voice and they sang praises and hymns so loud that even the other prisoners could hear them. Well, let's sing this so loud, I don't care whether you think, hey, I know I can't sing. Whether you think you can sing or not, let's sing loud enough where every devil in Dayton hears us. Amen. This whole area, in Jesus' name. And you particularly, now what I want you to do, I'd like for you to close your eyes and picture that it's only you standing right before your Lord. Let's say you can just standing right before the Lord Jesus, and you're going to sing this love song to Him. And just sing after me, if you will. "Because You live, I can face tomorrow. Because You live, all fear is gone. Because I know You hold my future. Now life is because You live." Let's sing it again. "Because You live, I can face tomorrow. Because You live, all fear the Lord. I love You, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Lord, we trust in You with all of our heart. We lean not to our own understanding. Our lives belong to You, Jesus. We've been bought with a price. Our lives are not our own. Jesus, have your way with us. We belong to you, Master. Whatever time we have on this earth, whatever time's remaining, Jesus, let it be for you. We belong to you, Jesus. Lord, we're tired of our agenda. We lay all of our agendas at your feet. Only your will. Only your plan. Only what you called us to do. And Lord, we trust you. Now say this after me. It's Bible. If I live,
I live
unto you, Jesus.
If I die,
I die unto you, Jesus.
Whether I live,
whether I die,
I belong to Jesus.
And I have no fear. Amen. 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 You bunch of dead men walking. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now, those of you that he particularly did that for, I encourage you, as emotions come to try and overwhelm you and the devil does what he can to empower those emotions, don't forget that song. I'm telling you, there's power. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there too many times. Be just like Paul. Be just like Silas. No matter how dark the hour, no matter how hopeless the circumstances, you lift your voice because you live, Jesus. There is no such thing as hopelessness when you belong to him. All things are possible. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. Now, extend your faith this way. By the way, y'all might wonder why I pray virtually the same prayer every night. It's because I want the same results. I want him to do it again. Amen. It's been good, hasn't it?
Amen.
It's been good, hasn't it? And I understand exactly why Pastor Jim said what he said. It doesn't discourage me. I wouldn't be discouraged if there was me, Jim, Kathy, Sue, and Aaron. Wouldn't discourage me at all. I'd preach it like there was 10,000. See, because that's what I'm called to do. He didn't say for me to base that on the attendance. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. But I'll tell you why it's hard. This is a hard message because now we're talking about the real gospel. And Jesus, what he wanted was disciples. Now the word disciple, you can't even mention that word without talking about discipline. And discipline is anathema to the charismatic movement. We like to be charismatics and go to all the happy things and the shouting meetings. And I like those too, don't you? There's nothing wrong with that. But whatever happened to discipline? He says, I'm looking for disciplined followers. Amen? All right, we better pray. I know we better pray now. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, Father, have your way here tonight, Lord. Lord, as far as I'm concerned right now, Gary Carpenter is leaving the building. Lord, I just present this vessel to you, my spirit, my soul, my body, Lord. It belongs to you now. Father, just have your way. Father, I ask that you anoint my tongue, make it as the pen of a ready writer, that I could speak forth the oracles of God, the very mind of Christ, with such simplicity and so clearly that the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. And Father, I also ask you to anoint the ears of the hearers, both in this congregation and those who will hear it by tape, that they can hear, that they have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is saying not only to the church at large, to this local body, but also to each individual member under the sound of my voice, whether in person or by tape. Father, we're trying to get out of your way. We're trying to get out of your way so you can touch and heal and bless and do your works through us. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Have your way here, Lord. Move among your people. Teach us, touch us, bless us, change us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Now tonight I get to teach one of my favorite messages. And I'm telling you, you may think for a little while that I'm on a different subject. I'm absolutely not. This is on the very same subject. Everyone say this after me. Say, Gary,
I'm not confused
about who I am,
where I'm from,
why I'm here. This lesson tonight, you don't have to keep talking. This lesson tonight is a... No, you don't have to keep talking. This lesson tonight... Boy, you guys are obedient people. I'll tell you what, Pastor, you're doing a good job with this bunch. Hallelujah. This lesson tonight, more and more, he's giving me visual ways of presenting some messages. They're very simple, but they're very powerful. And again, I ask you not to be, don't be moved by the simplicity of it in the sense of not paying attention. I'm telling you, if you can capture this vision, what he's doing tonight, everything about your life will change. Everything, you're going to understand better after this hour, this next hour or so, who you are, where you're from, and why you're here. And it is exactly the same message that we've been teaching all week, but it's just coming in through a different door, okay? I want you to open your Bible to two places. John 17 is where we're going to start, and then Ephesians chapter 2. Glory to your name, Jesus. I call this message Sent from Heaven. Now, John recorded the words of Jesus, and John 17, in my opinion, is the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies of the entire New Testament. What is John 17? As most of you know, this is what we call Jesus' high priestly prayer. Now, think about this. This is God the Son praying to God the Father. What do you think? Any chance this prayer got answered? If there was ever a prayer uttered from human lips on planet Earth that got answered, I figured it's this one. Don't you?
Yeah.
So the Lord had me studying this prayer. I've been studying this one for years. And if sometime when the Lord allows, I want to do a whole series just on John 17, just line by line precept. But that will be something, won't it? We're talking, how many volumes will that be, Jim? God only knows. But we're going to look at a specific part of it this week because he gave me a vision. Again, I've told you about if you spend a lot of time with the teacher, and I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, let him pray those mysteries through you. He has a way of getting across the understanding of the Word to you in such a way that it's personal. You don't have to live on Jim Martin's faith. You don't have to live on Dave Roberson's faith or anybody else's faith. He'll get it across to you where even you understand it. And boy, once you understand it, I mean, religion can't beat it out of you with rifle butts. And believe me, the day's coming when they're going to try. Y'all think when revival hits, you're going to be loved by religion in this town, do you? Is that what you think? You know, the power breaks out. And see, we're not doing it for this reason, but you already know it's going to happen. When the power breaks out and the little kids are getting out of the wheelchairs and the blind are seeing and the lame are walking and what now? You think word's not going to spread? You think, Dave, he recently went to do a one-week meeting in Cleveland, Tennessee at Norville's Bible College. And there was a young lady there, 27 years old, who had a withered arm. She's born that way. One arm was smaller than the other one. Plus her hand on that arm wouldn't function normally. The other hand was fine. Now, she's born in Cleveland, Tennessee. She's 27 years old. Everybody in that town knows her. She grew up there. The second night of those meetings, now Dave's just supposed to be there 1 week. The second night of that meeting, he called her out. I don't know exactly what he said to her, but probably something like stretch forth thine hand. I don't know. But the end result was that withered arm became whole just like the other one. Right in front of everybody. I mean, the arm was the same size. She had total mobility. Well, now she's born and raised in Cleveland, Tennessee. So everybody in town knows her. She's going around the next day, and everybody who's, I don't know her name, but say it was Mary. They're going, Mary? Mary? Is that you? Let me see your arm. What happened? You think word didn't spread like wildfire? I mean, the next night, it was standing room only at that Bible college. Well, miracles kept happening. People kept getting healed. What was supposed to be, people started coming. Now, this is Cleveland, Tennessee. People started coming from as far as Atlanta, Georgia, Canada. Pastors were coming who needed healing and getting healed. Okay? Word spread. What was supposed to be a one-week meeting turned into 6 weeks. Now, when that starts happening here and word starts getting out, you think people aren't going to start coming? You know, they're going to come. I mean, one thing you find out about Jesus, the real Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he gets to show up, did you notice sinners flock to him in great abundance? I mean, when it says a great multitude came, it means a great multitude came. And when that starts happening here and the people start coming, and some of them from other churches, and we're not doing it for that reason, but it's just that's what's going to happen. You think religion's going to be real happy about that? They're going to call you everything but saved. You know? So just, again, my counsel is you better start developing your rhino hide now. Anyway, let's get into it here because I'm going to... John 17. Now, Jesus said some astounding things about us. We're just going to look at verses 15 through 20 for tonight. Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Now, get this. He's talking about us, because you'll see here in just a little bit, he plainly says, I'm not just praying for these that are under the sound of my voice right here, but for all of those who will believe on me through these men's word. Now, one way or another, when you got saved, somebody preached the word that was recorded by the men that were present there, and also including Paul, who got saved afterwards. Amen? So would this prayer include you? All right. Now, look what Jesus says about you. He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now get this. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now here's that sentence. Neither pray I for these alone, those that were with him, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now say this after me. Jesus, everything he said here, he's talking about me. All right, now let's back up a minute and look at this one sentence here. It says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Now look up here at me. When we think about Jesus, the Father sending Jesus into the world, we know Jesus is not of this world. See, we don't have a problem with that. We know he is the second member of the Godhead made flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, so forth, right? So we automatically have a mental image of Jesus coming from heaven to earth. But see, when he says that exact identical thing about us, he says, Father, look what he says. Let's get the precise wording. I don't want to put words in here. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. We understand that he came from above here. But we don't think like that about ourselves because, I mean, I was just thinking and meditating this, and I couldn't equate this because I know I've been here the whole time. You know, I mean, if I ever went to heaven to be sent from there, I don't know it. Do you? I mean, so we don't see ourselves the same way because Jesus, well, he's from above and he came from heaven to earth. And so when the Father sent him, he sent him from heaven vertically down to earth. But us, we see ourselves being sent out horizontally. We were on the earth and we're sent out and we're still on the earth. But I was praying about this because that's not what the Greek implies there. It implies that we were sent in exactly the same fashion that Jesus was. Well, my head's going tilt with all this. Did you open up to Ephesians like I told you? Now watch this. Ephesians 2, verses 5 and 6. Paul says something here incredible that you'd have to get by revelation because the natural mind would never figure this out. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 5, says, even when we were dead in sins, He, God, hath... Now, there's three things here. And if you mark in your Bible, you ought to underline, quickened us together with Christ. That's the first thing he's did. That word quicken means to bring from death to life. You had a spirit with death in it at the new birth. You were quickened. But notice, quickened together. Boy, that's critical, that word together. He hath quickened us together with Christ. So that's number one. By grace ye are saved. Boy, you got that right. And hath. Now, and means he ain't done yet. He's still talking to us. So number one, he quickened us together. And hath, ought to underline this, raised us up together. Huh. He quickened us. Now we know Jesus. So here we go again. We know Jesus was raised up and from, you know, at the end, and was raised up to heaven. We know he came from heaven, and we know he went back to heaven when he was raised up. Isn't that right? But notice it says here, he's raised us up together. And then the third thing, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now where is Jesus seated? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And this verse says, I'm sitting there with him. Now, again, I'm a simple man. I'm not the quickest guy on earth. Now, I know it says that. But if I ever been there, and if I ever sat down beside him, I don't remember going. Do you remember going? I don't remember going. I couldn't tell you what the throne looks like. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I mean, now I've been to Florida. I can tell you what it looks like. I've been to Houston. I can tell you what it looks like. Now I've been to Dayton, and I can tell people what it looks like. But I can't tell you what heaven's like, because as far as I know, I ain't never been there. But yet it plainly says, I've been quickened together with him. I've been raised up together with him. And I have been seated together with him in heavenly places. Well, my head's going tilt now. I'm going, what do you do right then, Gary, when things like that happen? I let my spirit man go in that curtain, and I say, this is one of those things that's going to have to be spiritually discerned. My natural mind, if I think about this too much, my brain is going to start leaking out my left ear. So I'm just going to sit here and be nice and let my spirit man go learn about this mystery from the Holy Ghost. Then I start praying in other tongues, assimilating, continuing to read it, but just praying in other tongues, let the Holy Ghost show me. And eventually he did. He gave me this little vision that I'm going to share with you in a minute. Now I got to tell you something Pastor Jim told me about a year ago, and I can't remember if it was in person or by an email or some way, but he gave me a clue that helped the Holy Ghost birth this in me. See, because the way we think, and I mentioned this earlier, but we need to be reminded of it, the way we think is, okay, Jesus, we know he was quickened, and we can read all about it there, how they rolled, you know, the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and he's resurrected from the dead, quickened to new life, and enters into his body, and we can read all about that, and we figure that all happened then. And then when I got born again, for example, you know, it was in 1980, so I figure I was quickened together, or I was quickened in 1980 years, roughly, after Jesus was quickened. But Jim clued me in on what the Greek really says there. He says, that's not what it says. It says, with God there is no time. And from God the Father's point of view, when he sees Jesus coming out of that tomb, he sees you coming out with him at the same time. It's not a separate event. It's the same event. And God the Father, see, again, my brain, my left ear, I'm not even born yet. I mean, it's going to be almost 2,000 years before I'm born. But see, God the Father, when he sees Jesus coming out, y'all do know he knows the end from the beginning. When he sees Jesus coming out of that tomb, he sees Gary Carpenter coming out of that tomb with him. When he sees Jesus rising up to meet him in heaven, he sees Gary Carpenter rising with him at the same time. And when Jesus sits down at the right hand of power, he sees his son Gary Carpenter sitting down with him. And guess what else? All of you too. From God's point of view, it's a single event. Now, our natural mind has trouble with that. But when you live in a realm where there is no time, God doesn't have any problem with that. Did I say it right, Jim? Okay. Right now, I can't argue with the word. It plainly says that I have been quickened together, I have been raised up together, and seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, see, if that was really true, and it is, but my natural mind is thinking now, see, now, if I had memory of that event, And I was seated up there, then I could see how God could send me from heaven the same way Jesus was sent from heaven. Trouble is, I have no recollection of ever going. All right, now watch this. I'm praying along. I'm trying to understand all this. And the Holy Ghost, he gave me one of these little teaching visions. All right, now, what if, this is the way the Holy Ghost showed it to me. You know, when you got born again, I don't know if it was at a church, at an altar like this one, could have been on your job. Somebody could have led you to the Lord. In my particular case, I happened to be in my living room, 4th of July, 1980, by myself at home. Could be anywhere. But somehow or another, you may have knelt, you may have been sitting, you may have done whatever. But how long does it take to go through the sinner's prayer? You know, 1 or 2 minutes probably elapsed. Father, I understand I'm a sinner. Father, forgive me. I've heard the gospel now. I know that your son came and died in my place. Father, I ask you to forgive me. I receive Jesus as my Lord. I repent. Whatever exact words. But that whole process, what does that take? 1 or 2 minutes? You know, maybe with, you know, now some people, they mine, there was not a lot of emotion with mine. Mine was a very conscious decision. Now, I've seen others that have tremendous emotion. I'm telling you what matters is, did it happen in your heart? That's what happened. See, because I've seen some of those, now I don't mean to be too gross, but I've seen them sling snot at the altar, you know. I mean, you know, all these emotions and everything. And they didn't change, you know, more got born again than I'm a goose. You know, I don't know what they were doing up there, but their heart was not in it. Okay? I've seen others that were more like, but I've seen others now that were very emotional that did change. They got born again. And then there's guys like me that there was almost no emotion whatsoever then. Boy, I've cried a river since, but there was almost no emotion. I just understood. And I was giving myself to Jesus. That's all there was. Well, anyway, if it happened in your heart, you got born again. If those words, if you meant them with your heart, you got born again. Amen? But that whole process only takes a minute or two. Now, here's the way the vision unfolded. All of a sudden, I've been meditating on this, quickened together, raised together, seated together, just like you sent me, Father. I have sent them. And all of a sudden, this vision unfolded, and I saw, like myself, in my living room there, like, what if, since there's no time with God, in that 1 or 2 minutes that elapsed on earth, when you got born again, what if at that moment, the Holy Ghost really did take your spirit? Now, He didn't. I'm teaching. This is for teaching purposes, okay? Now, positionally, legally, He did. But now, I'm not saying that your spirit really went to heaven, but this is the way He got it across to me. He says, now, what if in that 1 or 2 minutes on earth where you're giving your life to Jesus, the Holy Ghost brought your spirit man to heaven, and while 1 or 2 minutes elapsed on earth, you spent 1,000 years in heaven being trained by the Holy Ghost? I mean, what if He brought you up there and handed you off, say, to the Apostle Peter? He says, Peter, I want you to show, this one just got born again. We want you to show him around heaven. He needs training. He needs to understand the will of the Father. You be the first one for 2 or 3 weeks. You show this person around heaven. And then we're going to have King David show him around for a while. Then we're going to have some angels take him around. We just want him to understand heaven. And he needs to be trained and to understand the will of God. So this vision unfolded like that. And now let me just ask you, boy, I mean, wouldn't that be something? What if we got to go there first? You know, now one thing I'm pretty sure of, you know, Jesus said, pray, Father, thy will be done on earth, just like it already is in heaven. I mean, one thing I know for sure, if you get to go around heaven, the Father's will is being done there. Isn't that right?
Amen.
See, I mean, we don't have any problem with that. Well, you know, you're tooling around heaven. Maybe after the first 100 years, maybe Peter took you on a tour. Wouldn't that be something? For the first 100 years, you know. And you've been looking around heaven, meeting people and seeing all the glories of heaven. And suddenly it dawns on your lightning quick mind. After 100 years, I'm talking about me now. After 100 years, it dawns on you. You know, I've been looking around heaven. They've been escorting me all around here for 100 years. And I have yet to ever see a sick person.
Amen.
I've never seen a sick person in heaven. Click. Revelation knowledge suddenly hits. You know, sickness just might not be the Father's will. Wouldn't that be something? You know? And let's say another 100 years goes by. Now, you know, Peter, he's had enough of you. He passes you over to Paul now. Paul, you know, he... You know, this guy took him 100 years to understand that healing is... So anyway, hand you over to Paul. Now Paul's taking you around, showing you around heaven, you know. Maybe after another 100 years or so, it dawns on you another one. You get another lightning quick revelation. You know, I've been up here for all this time. I've never found any slums in heaven. I've never seen any poverty. I've never met one person who didn't have their needs totally met. I've never seen a poor person in heaven. Click, light bulb, revelation knowledge. You know, poverty just might not be the Father's will. Because I know His will's being done in heaven. And as this process continued, now you think if you had 1,000 years, pretty soon, you know, you'd never meet an insane person. You'd never meet a maimed person. You'd never meet people that just had a church split. Would you? You'd never find adultery going on there. You'd never find stealing going on there. The Father's will is done there. I mean, now, even for a guy like me that I already know I'm not the quickest guy around, you know, but after, if I could tool around heaven and be trained there first, I think if I had 1,000 years, I think even I would finally understand, no matter what the preachers say, I think I'd finally understand. I'd have a pretty good grasp on what the Father's will is. Yes. And I say, well, no wonder Jesus prayed that the Father's will be done on earth, just like it is here, because it's wonderful here. And that's what the Father wants for earth. And he says, pray that we have it now. See? So I start understanding a little bit better, amen? All right, so let's say that process went on. Now, not just Gary, but let's say each and every one of us. Since God the Father sees us that way anyhow, from His point of view, legally, you were quickened together with Christ. You were raised up at the same time He was raised up. And you've been seated at the right hand of Him from the same moment He was seated there, even though you weren't born again. Not again, don't let your mind leak out your left ear, okay? But this is spiritual discernment, all right? What if every believer on the planet had that privilege of being trained in heaven first to find out the Father's will? Okay, are you with me so far?
Yes.
All right. Now, I was asked by somebody after I taught this in Houston, and I don't mean to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to mention. They asked me a question. We had a fellowship afterwards, and they're going, now, when we went to heaven... So I'm going to emphasize again, I'm teaching the positional truth. Okay, I'm not saying your spirit literally went there. This is how the Holy Ghost got this across to me, okay? Hallelujah. Boy, you got to be careful what you say, I'll tell you what. All right, now let's say all of us, every believer who's ever been, has had that privilege, and we went to heaven for 1,000 years and got trained there. And, man, we'd be finding it. You know, we'd pretty well have a better understanding of who we are. You'd start really understanding God is your Father. Jesus is your Lord. He's also your brother. The same Spirit of life that's in Him, you'd find out you had that same Spirit of life in you. I mean, you'd know some things about who you were. You know, our citizenship, the Bible says, is where? In heaven, see? And you'd start identifying with heaven in a much greater way if you could had that opportunity to go there first for 1,000 years. So let's say we're all like that. We've all had the privilege, every believer that's ever been or will be, all of us had that privilege. And then one day, Gabriel blows a trumpet. And the message, the angels start flying through heaven saying, the Lamb is calling for a meeting of the saints. All are to come to the throne of the Lamb. Boy, would we go? All right, now for teaching purposes, since the platform here is a couple of steps higher, when I walk up here on the platform, this is heaven. You with me? When I come down here, this is earth. You with me? So let's say all of us, and for teaching purposes, I don't know what else to do, this pulpit here, this will be like Jesus' throne. Okay? When I refer to Jesus, I want you all to see Him standing like or sitting in His throne right here in His position. Now, all of us gather, and by the way, the first thing we do is any crowns we have, we cast them at His feet. One thing for sure, we are sold out to the Lamb who bought us. Amen?
Amen.
And yes, I mean, the Father, He loves us so much, He keeps putting crowns on us, and we keep casting them at the feet of Jesus. But anyway, He has a message for us. And now again, this is every believer who's ever been. We've all had the privilege of tooling around heaven for 1,000 years, and now we know who we are. We know where we're from. We sure know what the Father's will is. We've gotten to observe it in its purity for 1,000 years. But now the Lamb has something to announce. So He calls us unto Himself, and He says that He has a mission for us to do on earth. He says that it's the Father's desire that His ministry as Lord continue on earth so that the Father's will can be done there, just like it's already being done in heaven. And he tells us that there's many more people on earth still to be saved, still to be healed, and still to be delivered. He tells us that he's going to send all of us to earth so that his ministry as Lord can continue there. Each of us will be given a mortal body that will camouflage us and make us appear as normal people. You aliens? No. Now, the mortal bodies we'll be wearing, he warns us, they're of a different nature than anything in heaven. Those bodies are of fallen earth, and they have, and those bodies have strong desires and lusts for pleasure. We'll have to keep dominion over our mortal bodies by the strength of the nature of God that is within us. But those earth suits will allow us to work as guerrilla fighters on the earth. We will appear to be sons of Adam, just like the lost people of the earth. And those mortal bodies will allow us to move upon the earth undetected as sons of God. We'll be able to infiltrate every race and every economic strata of man in order that the Lamb's ministry as Lord may continue unabated through us. He tells us that it's paramount that we remember that the whole reason for him sending us to earth is so that his work as Lord can be continued through each of us. He's not sending us to be lords in our own right. He is sending us so his lordship can be worked through us. And he warns each and every one of us not to set any agendas of our own. He alone will direct his lordship through each of us. Now, one in the group asked the question, and I think that's a good question. Again, I just saw this all unfolding in my spirit. This is what I call a teaching vision. Someone in the group asks, Lord, since you will be here in heaven and we're going to be on the earth, how will we know what you want to do through us each day? And the Lord answers by saying, well, each of you is well acquainted with the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He's going to go with each and every one of you. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. He continually hears my instructions in heaven, and he will reveal them to you on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. You will not lack for instruction, knowledge, or wisdom. You'll have no trouble at all distinguishing his voice, for after all, you are spirit-born children from heaven, and it's more natural for you to hear news from home than to hear any other voice on earth. So I'm sending you into the world, but don't you ever forget, you're not of the world. The life that is in each one of you is from me, Jesus says, and it's the same life I received from the Father when I was raised from the dead. That life within you is of God. As you hear my instruction from the Holy Spirit, and then obey that instruction through words and action, the Holy Spirit will be there to exercise the dominion of my lordship upon the life within you, just as if I were personally speaking and acting on earth myself. You are my agents of authority on the earth. You will speak and you will act in my stead. The Holy Spirit is the Father's agent of power on the earth. And when you speak and act in my name, in accordance with the instructions I give you, the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit will move to cause the restoration of fallen earth back to the original intent and purpose of our Father in heaven. By this process, all things are possible. This is how the Father's will is to be done on the earth. This is how my ministry as Lord will continue through you. This is how you'll bear much fruit. This is how you'll be my disciples. My ministry as Lord has not ended. It is expanded to function through each of you. The mission has not changed. Through you, I will still be seeking and saving the lost, healing the sick, casting out devils, and restoring the fallen material realm to the original intent and purpose of the Father for mankind. Never forget this. The Spirit of life within you is that which you receive from me. That nature within you is completely free from the law of sin and death that dominates fallen man on the earth. The law of sin and death has absolutely no dominion over you at all. My nature of righteousness is infinitely stronger than the nature of sin and death that is within the sons of Adam. Don't ever forget, nothing on fallen earth has any dominion over you. Not sin, not sickness, not devils, and not poverty. I take full responsibility for meeting any needs you will encounter as you allow my lordship to be exercised through you. If you need anything, simply ask the Father in my name, and He will give it unto you. There's no reason for you to ever worry about a thing. So now, go in my name, allow my ministry as Lord to continue through you. Preach the gospel of the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, and raise the dead. I'm sending you into the world, but never forget, you are not of the world. I think we ought to just praise Him for a minute on that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, as this vision continued to unfold, I'm just setting up a couple of props I'm going to need here. There was multitudes, millions and millions of people born again, and all of us were receiving that commission at the same time. So as the vision unfolded, that suitcase is almost too big. Here, that won't work. I'll just put it right there. That'll work. Now, this will be fine. This will work. So anyway, as this vision unfolded, if you get the picture, here was Jesus on this magnificent throne. We're all up here in heaven. There's thousands and millions of us there, all hearing the same commission. We understand who we are. We understand where we're from. And now we understand why He's sending us to planet Earth. You got that? See, I used to complain. I said, Lord, if you really love me, why didn't you just take me to heaven the moment I got saved? Who wants to stay here in this sin-sick place? You know? Well, it was a long time before the Holy Ghost got it across to me. He needs us here. Yeah. Without us, how's His Lordship going to continue? Well, anyway, in this vision, here we come. I saw in this vision like millions, multitudes, tens of thousands of millions of saints, and we're all leaving heaven, and we're coming to earth. I mean, you talk about it in my spirit, it looked like an invasion force, you know. I told you guys you're aliens from another world, and we've come to occupy till He comes, see? So here we come. Now, He warned us about something, didn't He? He says, you got to be careful about those bodies. Your spirit is from heaven, but in order for you to function on earth, I got to put you in a material body that came from the earth, and it's fallen. It's got strong lust in it. It's got strong desires. So if you can see all of us here, we're coming now. Just focus on a single one. I'm going to give you two examples out of all these millions, and there's many other examples, but these two will pretty well sum up what He's trying to get across to us tonight. Okay, this one guy. Here He comes. He's coming from heaven. He's born again. He knows who He is, where He's from, why He's coming to earth. And can you see me? I'm descending from heaven. Can you see me? Now the thing is, I'm still spirit at this point, right? But now this guy's got to step into a corporal body. He's got to step into a body like yours and mine. Boy, when he steps in it, something rocks him back. I mean, he feels something he hasn't felt in 1,000 years. And the strength of it just almost overwhelms him. And he goes, what is that? Oh, yeah. I nearly forgot what lust feels like. See, that's the way the body is, man. You do know your body's not saved. It's not going to be saved till the sound of the trump. And He gives us a body then that will be righteous like His glorified body, see? Can you imagine having a glorified body that you can't make sin with a stick? Say, well, I can't even hardly relate to that. My body right now, if I'd let it, it would eat a whole coconut cream pie every day. And it don't care if I got so big I couldn't fit through the double doors of the church. All it wants is what it wants when it wants it. They don't care what Jesus wants either. You know? And that's, boy, this guy steps into that body. And I mean, he hadn't experienced lust. He's been in heaven for 1,000 years. But boy, you step into that body, you're going to feel lust, man. Now see, what did Jesus say? He plainly said, gave us, you know, precise instructions about why we're on this planet. We're to listen to Him. We're not to set our own agendas. We're supposed to spend time in fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and He's the one that brings us our instructions. Isn't that right? We're on a mission, so Jesus' Lordship can continue. But now, see, the enemy is watching all this. But now, what if you was, the Bible calls Satan the God, little g, of this world? Now, what if he could see in the Spirit that he saw millions upon millions of invaders from heaven coming to overthrow his kingdom? You think he's got some plans? You think he's going to roll over and play dead? No. He's got some diversions. He's got some tactics, wiles of the devil that we're not to be ignorant of. So let's say this one guy, he's going to get taken out. Now he's saved, he's sent on the mission, but boy, when he steps in that body, he feels that lust and he starts yielding to it. And see, the big danger in America is what John warns us about in his first epistle. He says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. You know, he warns us about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Jesus put it this way in Mark 4. He says, the cares of this world, you know, persecution, affliction, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, they choke the word. In this context, they take you away from your mission. So this guy, the lust starts overpowering him. And man, he starts looking around, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. See, we don't have much trouble with... You understand the lust of the eyes, don't you? Lust of the flesh, that's not too hard to understand. Let's get a little clearer on that pride of life. I did a real word study on that. Pride of life. The Greek word for life there, and there's several Greek words for life, that one is bios. B-I-O-S. And what it pertains to is the things you need for your biological life. Now, for example, where it talks about the widow's mite, and Jesus said she is casting in all her living, that word living there is bios. What it means is, the very last that she had to sustain her physical life on earth, she put it. So we're talking about the things to sustain your physical life. That word pride there is where we get the word braggadocious. All right, now, braggadocious about my physical life. What's he talking about? In a nutshell, keeping up with the Joneses. Taking pride in your standard of living. That's the very thing. He says that kind of thought. And once I saw this vision, John goes even further and he says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. What does that mean? Mean you're not saved? I used to think that's what it meant. But what it means is, if those things are what matters to you, it's going to divert you from your mission. That's not why you're here, to keep up with the Joneses. That's not why you're here. That's not why He sent you here. That's not what your mission is about, is acquiring personal goods and so you can brag about your standard of living. But this guy gets taken out. And this suitcase here, I'm going to lift it up where you can see it a little better. See, the main spirit over America is materialism. And that's what the enemy has used. He gets us so focused on keeping up with the Joneses and... for most Americans, you know, your self-worth has to do with your house, your car, your job. What does the neighbors think? So this guy, he just forgets about his mission. I mean, it's not that he doesn't go to church. It's not that he doesn't give God his tithe. But his main focus is about his living. So during his lifetime, now it may not be, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's not a good man, he doesn't go to church, but the focus of his life is on more and more things. And this suitcase represents, for benefit of the tape, I've got a large empty suitcase. And he becomes one of those who from birth to the grave is always concerned about where are we going to live, what are we going to eat, what are we going to drink, how are we going to educate our kids, what kind of car are we going to drive, I got to get that promotion on my job. Those are the things that start consuming his time, consuming his money. And you can always find out who your God is. Just start seeing where you're spending your time and where you're spending your money. See why people don't keep coming? Anyway. This guy, his life becomes about longer cars and VCRs. and all the other stuff. So his life is about acquiring things. So for benefit of the tape, oh man, they got a brand new type of VCR. I need to be able to watch certain movies in better stereo. So I need one of those. And I need a DVD player, CD player, VCR player thing. And then I need, oh, and I need this and I need that. Now see, it's one thing to need those things for your calling. It's another thing to need all that stuff as diversions. And the bios, the pride of your physical life, your standard of living. He's doing it for the standard of living thing. Oh, what will the neighbors think? What will everybody think of me? What about me? It's all about me, you know. You know. So his whole life, he's accumulating these things. And if I could, I probably should have brought some big blankets because I'd want to stuff this thing where it was just, you know, bulging. Now the thing of it is, there's somebody in heaven watching him. This guy's on the earth now, right? Who's in heaven watching? Jesus. And do you know he's never going to force this guy to do nothing? Your own free will. Jesus never violates that. But this guy, he spends his whole life mainly caught up in the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. His life is about acquiring bigger and better and more things. And I'm not saying he don't ever go to church. Maybe he goes to church. You know, Easter, Christmas, you know, tithe a little bit, you know, once in a while. And I'm not saying he's not even going to heaven. I'm just saying his stewardship, that his time of stewardship on this planet, he used it to acquire things. But now let's say it's at the end of his life. He has served out. He spent his 70, 80, 90, 120 years, whatever time he had. And now it's time to go back and give an accounting of his life to the Lord, who's been watching from heaven. Well, this suitcase here represents the fruit of his life. This is what he spent his time on. More things, better things, keeping up with the Joneses, standard of living, so he could brag about his standard of living and how well he's done. So it's time to go meet Jesus now. And so here he goes, and he's got his suitcase, and it's time to go to heaven and give an accounting of his life. So here he goes, and he's fixing to go to heaven. And boy, sunk. What's wrong? He's got a hold of the suitcase. He's trying to take it with him. But, man, he's run into some kind of obstacle here. He can't get that suitcase up into heaven with him. What does the Bible say? Naked you came into this world? Naked you going out? And he's going, uh-oh. I spent my whole life on acquiring these things. And I can't take a single one of them with me. And I've got now to go give an accounting of my life to the Master. How would you like to be that guy? Empty-handed. No reward. Spent his whole life seeking after things. I thank God for the mercy of the Lord. There's going to be a lot of people in heaven who have no reward. But I'm telling you right now, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
We don't want to approach the Lord like that, do we? All right, now, out of those thousands of people, that was one example. Now I want to give you another one. I'm a little lady now. I know that's hard for you to picture. But in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. But now let's say this, I mean, everybody who comes has to step into that same kind of a body. Everybody who, once you get into the planet, when she stepped into hers, she got rocked back on her heels. I mean, that's just the way the flesh is. It's full of lust. It's fallen. It ain't saved. It's not going to be changed till the sound of the trump. But see, she stayed focused. She remembered. This one knew for sure who she is, where she's from, and why she's here. She started taking dominion over that thing. And even though the materialism and religion and everything that the devil has on this planet was designed to divert her from her mission, she understood and she remembered what Jesus said. He says, the Holy Spirit is going to go with each and every one of you. He is in constant contact with me. And as long as you stay in fellowship with him, you're not going to lack for instruction. You're not going to lack for wisdom. And you're going to know what my mind is for your life. You remember that? So every day she remembers. And she knows who her Lord is. She remembers the mission. She goes daily. Proverbs 8:34, wisdom says, blessed is the man who listens daily at the posts of my doors. What's that a type and shadow of? She's going to every day saying, Holy Spirit, I'm so glad you're here. I know that you're the one that bridges between heaven and earth. You're the one that brings me the mind of Christ for my life. And one thing for sure that I'm going to do, I'm going to let my spirit stay in communication with you. And my soul doesn't know what's going on right then, but line upon line, little by little, you bring me the mind of Christ, and I know what I'm supposed to do on the earth. Now see, and she, I'm purposely going to pick something that's very small. Paul compared the body of Christ to a physical body. I mean, we tend to think that the eyes are more important than the toenails. But are they not all a part of the body? See, and we tend to think that a massive worldwide ministry is somehow more important than the little lady who vacuums the church. But see, from Jesus' point of view, if he called the little lady to vacuum the church, that is his perfect will for her. And as long as she fulfills exactly what he told her to do, her reward will be exactly the same as the worldwide evangelist. It all depends. He's the Lord. We're not. You don't. I mean, a lot of people do. You don't choose to be a pastor. He calls you to be a pastor. You really have very little say-so about it except to either obey or you don't. But you don't. Jim can't choose to be a prophet. God has to call him. Jesus, you know, he's only a prophet if Jesus makes him one. I know a lot of people. I always say it like this. Preachers, whatever, ministers are supposed to be called and sent. Sadly, too many just got up and went, you know. So, Gary, how do you know what you are? He told me what I am. He's equipped me to do what I do. I know who I am. And he helped me because my natural, I'm pretty gentle by nature most of the time. Y'all agree whether you believe it or not. Most of the time. And even I was wondering for a little while, I thought, well, maybe I'm called to be a pastor because I kind of have a shepherd's, temperament type of thing. So in order that I wouldn't, so that the possibility of me someday pastoring a church used to be in my mind until he came and told me one day. He says, I never called you to pastor. You're not a pastor, Gary. Do you get it? Yes, sir. What am I? You're a teacher. Don't ever forget it. See, because the enemy would love for me to start pastoring a church. That would be somewhere in God's acceptable will, and he would bless me in that all that he could. But that's not his call on my life, and it would be a major diversion. Now, you spend enough time with the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you what he wants you doing. I'm not looking at anybody in particular, by the way. I'm not trying to... He'll tell you what you're supposed to do. What you're supposed to do. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. Don't read anything into that. Okay? So this little lady, I'm just going to pick this on purpose because man esteems vacuuming the church to not be of much importance. So I'm on purpose picking that. But let's just say that for this particular little lady, that's Jesus' call on her life. It's exactly what he wants her to do. So here she is, and she's just happy. Boy, when you're in the middle of the will of God, and you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, I mean, all hell can be raging around you. You're just singing on the inside. I mean, it may be ugly on the outside. You know, the storm may be beating on the house. But, man, honey, you're in there with your feet up next to the fireplace and the peace of God. And it's wonderful on the inside, see? So she vacuumed in the church just singing to the Lord. And every day, though, she's got that habit of going. Y'all look up Proverbs 8:34 later and read it for yourself. Daily, she comes back. She wants to listen at the posts of the doors of her master. That's where the Holy Ghost speaks. That's where you spend that time praying in other tongues. You're listening for he who is wisdom. That's the Holy Spirit bringing the very mind of Christ. And let's just say in this that the Holy... Because you got to understand, one thing that got purged from you during that 1,000 years in heaven was all formulas. All religious formulas. You found out you're not in a religion anyhow. You found out you're in a family. And Jesus is the head of the family in the sense of being Lord. Now the Father is ahead of him. But he is the head elder member of the family. You get your instructions from him. You forget all the formulas. Whatever the Lord Jesus says to you, that's what you do. Period. End of story. Now I better not do that. Anyway. So anyway, this woman's completely delivered of formula. She knows that it's just a matter of hearing the voice of the Lord and doing whatever he says. That's how his lordship is accomplished. So let's just say that that in one of those days when she's in fellowship with the Holy Spirit lets her know, is it okay if I bother you?
Yeah.
But you need to put your Bible down.
Okay.
Let's just say that I'm the little cleaning lady, okay? I'm the little cleaning lady. And the Holy Spirit one day says, and it's not like like the only place he has her give, but he just gives her a special instruction. He says, out of your paycheck every week, I want you to just give $10 to that lady right there. What's your name?
Alice.
Mm-hmm. Now, the cleaning lady may not even know Alice at all, but she knows the voice of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit says every week, no matter what else you might, we're not talking about your tithes, we're not talking about anything else, but every week, the Lord, Jesus, he wants you to give $10 to Alice. She doesn't need to know why, does she? She just needs to know what the Lord said. So let's just say every week she just says, here, Alice, $10. The Lord wants me to, just... Alice says, bless you, hallelujah. And the little lady goes back to her cleaning. Now, let's say she does that every week for 25 years. And the cleaning lady does not know that Alice has a street ministry. That Alice is she looks like such a sweet little kind thing, But she's really a warrior at heart. And let's say she has a street ministry. She goes out to Skid Row and she goes to the worst of the worst. Maybe she takes that $10 and she'll buy some lunch meat and make sandwiches. Maybe if I can keep that old drunk alive one more day, maybe tomorrow he'll get saved. If somebody doesn't feed him, he's going to die, And she'll go out there and she'll love on him. She'll take blankets in the winter. She's using that $10 and she's not using it to put gold on her fingers. She's using it to spread the gospel. And the cleaning lady don't even know that. All she knows is God said, give that lady, Alice, $10 every week, and let's say she does it. Now, just for teaching purposes, let's say that over the course of years that this goes on, that through Alice's ministry, from that $10, let's say this row gets saved, and let's say that row of people, well, it's just one, that row of people get saved. Let's go back about three rows, one more row, okay? All right? That would include you guys, you and you. I'm going to need you to do something in a minute, okay? All right, now, the end of her life comes. Her stewardship, her 70, 80, 90, 120 years is coming to an end. And from her perspective, you two guys got saved too. Okay. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Okay. Now let's say that at the end of her life, just like the other guy, eventually your stewardship's coming to an end, isn't it? Unless Jesus, tarries, we're all someday going to lay these bodies aside and our stewardship time on this planet's over. Now it's time to go give a reckoning to the Lord. Now this little lady, maybe she's thinking in her own mind, she says, all I ever did was vacuum the church. And now it's time for me to go meet Jesus and give an account of my life. And boy, that doesn't seem like much to get accomplished, And she starts, it's time for her to start ascending to heaven. She's going, I wish I had some kind of a reward. I wish I had something to give Jesus. I need all of you three rows that got saved, three or four rows, stand up. Said, just follow me. I wish I had something to take to Jesus. I wish there was something I could bring from planet Earth to heaven that I could present it to my master. I just wish there was something that I could show my Lord how I appreciated what he did for me. And unknown to her, she's been doing it right the whole time, just following the instructions he gave. Because you can't take material goods to heaven. This is the treasure.
Amen.
That Jesus said to lay up. People, now give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Glory to God. Now, people, in a nutshell, that's who you are. That's where you're from. That's why he's got you on this sin-sick planet right here, is for the very purpose that his lordship can be continued through you. Now, on purpose, he had me keep it very simple like this. You got that? But now, I used a little cleaning lady and a simple little act of obedience. You multiply those acts of obedience in every life of every... Wouldn't it be something if Jesus could be Lord? Wouldn't it be something if Jesus took over your agenda? Wouldn't it be something if Jesus could start dictating your life? Instead of you having to figure out... Well, it's the tie that opens the windows of heaven, and it's the amount of... Why don't we forget all that stuff? Get in the prayer closet, because See, the truth of the matter is we don't get to go there and be trained first. And so since we can't go to heaven to be trained, God sent the teacher from heaven here to train you. Yeah. Hallelujah, is right. The Holy Spirit told me one time, He said that Jesus of Nazareth, now seated at the right hand of power, and I hope I'm quoting this almost word for word, does not consider wars, murders, theft, rapes, and all the other horrible things that happen on this planet as being the enemy's finest accomplishment. He said what Jesus considers to be the single triumph of the enemy is through religion separating God's children from the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Because if you can sever that, we're all orphans. We're all powerless. We're all blind, trying to lead the blind. We have no direction. We have no anointing. No wonder the devil's fought like a crazy man to keep tongues out of the church. That is the lifeline. That is the lifeline between you and Jesus on the throne. And it, no wonder he's fought it. And if you decide to take this week to heart and you begin changing your life, saying, I'm telling you, I am tired of beating the air. I am tired of trying to figure everything out. I am going to yield my soul to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to let him start praying God's perfect plan. And I'm telling you right now, if you make that decision, you better know the enemy's not going to leave you alone. You better understand that from the get-go. I don't mean to glorify him, but I am not ignorant of his devices. I've been in the trenches with Dave for 10 years, and I've been watching him get took out by the hundreds. And if you wasn't here last night, where we talked about the kinds of impasses, and there's many more. If you make it past those, you'll probably make it past the others. Okay? You ought to get that tape for sure. Now get it. I mean, it's born out of the crucible of warfare in the trenches. I'm telling you, I'm not a novice at this. I've been at it a long time. Okay? I'm a survivor. And I know from whence I speak. Okay? Now, the whole thing... Yes, sir. How do I put it? Now, here's the thing. The decision, he left completely up to you. Right here, this part of you. Not even the born-again part of you. Not your spirit. That's not where that decision is made. Your spirit, listen, your spirit will pray in tongues as long as you let it. The Holy Ghost will speak those mysteries through you as long as you'll give him. Every day, it's you that decides whether you're going to pray 10 minutes, 10 hours, or something in between. And I know you're busy. Hey, everybody who God ever used to bring revival was busy. Everybody has families. Everybody has jobs. Everybody is too busy. Do it anyhow. Yeah. Now, the only time I had to give him was driving time. That's all I had. That long-haul truckers only do three things. They drive, they eat, and they sleep. He knew that. Nothing takes Jesus by surprise. Right here is worth the price of admission, if there was one. He already knows your circumstances. You don't have to. He knows what you're in. But he also knows you have more time to give him than you're giving. Now, don't get condemned overnight. Well, I don't have as much time as Brother Gary. I didn't have any time except driving time. But what you start somewhere. If you've been praying 10 minutes, start. The first goal for everybody ought to be 1 hour. Don't you think 1 hour? 1 hour a day to get the very mind of Christ. Start getting that coming on a daily basis, where the Holy Spirit can start imparting directly to your spirit the very instructions of your Lord. See, when you start this process, now just for teaching purposes, and I'm just about done, believe it or not. Now, what does it mean in closing?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay. If we drew a center line right down the center of this eye, and let's say that for each and every person in here, that represents, before the foundations of the world, God's plan for your individual life. Right there. Right smack down the center of that aisle. If you're going to be a hundredfolder, where you perfectly walk out His plan. Let's say it represents a center line right down that aisle. Let's say that tonight, whatever the date is on Thursday in Dayton, Ohio, the date, let's say you take this to heart and you go, I'm going to make a commitment to start praying more. I'm going to start praying. Now, it doesn't matter to the Holy Ghost if you're 14 miles from that center line. Maybe through your best efforts, you're 14 miles away from where, you know, from what God wants you to be doing. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, He won't even upbraid you. He won't start chewing you out. You start giving Him time, and in your spirit, He is going to start redirecting your path. I mean, He's going to start taking you back. He only has one thing on His mind, and that's getting you in the perfect will of God for your life. Now, you do have to yield at every step. You know, you may, like Kenneth Hagin, I've used this example the night before. He pastored for 11 years, and the Holy Ghost finally got it across to him. Jesus never called you to do that. So what do you got to do now? You change. You don't pastor anymore. You found that out. Well, some of you may be working at Kroger's, and that may be fine. But He wants you working at Sam's Club. I'm just picking stuff, okay? I mean, maybe that's the next step. I mean, He's alive. The Lord Jesus is alive and well.
Yes.
He's got a plan for you. But that plan is in the Holy Ghost. Last analogy I'll use. Dave uses this one a lot. See, don't you love the Bible? I know you do. I do too. And I read in here, I find the book of Isaiah. I find the book of Ezekiel. I find the book of John. Boy, I wish there was a book of Gary in there. Don't you wish there was a book in there that had from beginning to end, you know, like Thursday, this date, year 2001, book of Gary, do this, do this, do this, and do this. Wouldn't you like that? Do you know there is a book of Gary? It's in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
There is a plan. It's just I don't have it in black and white. I've got it from a living person who's come from heaven to tell me. But how in the world am I ever going to find it if I don't spend any time with Him? There is a book of Gary. There is a book of Kathy and Jim and every person in here. His plan for your life was already done before the foundations of the world. It's already there, but it exists in the Holy Ghost. You spend time with Him. Now, I'm telling you, we talked about impasses. I'm not saying it's easy to get started. But boy, once you start getting in the flow of it, you wouldn't trade that relationship with the Holy Ghost for any amount of money. Was it simple enough?
Yes.
You feel that accountability level rising just a little bit, right up about your neck high now? Say this with me now. Say, Gary.
Gary.
For sure now.
For sure now.
I know who I am.
I know who I am.
I know where I'm from.
I know where I'm from.
I know why I'm here.
I know why I'm here.
And I'm going to pray more. Hallelujah, Pastor. Glory.